Well, how are we feeling this afternoon? How's the country feeling this afternoon? It's an overreaction Wednesday.
Yes,
overreaction Wednesday based on the game last night. But there's a lot to get into from that standpoint all afternoon. We're getting closer to a big weekend in the NFL. Talk about that. Our boy Strutty is going to take a peek with us in about 25 minutes. Jason Strudwick.
Yes.
We always look forward to that. And Jerry is coming up at 5:30. You're going to want to hear this.
I don't know if he is. We're going to have to send him a note because he was in a mood.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. I just had to talk to Malls. I had to call into Malls to ask him about something, and he was chatting with Jerry.
Yeah, did
and he
well.
Seemed he, Malls told me that Jerry seemed choked up, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
Yeah, you piqued my interest now. I mean, I a little birdie told me you're going to want to hear this at 5:30. Something's cooking in the background with Jerry. Something's going on, and we're not privy to that information, but we will find out at 5:30, and I look forward to that. I think I look forward to that.
Yeah.
And Bobby Mack coming up at 5:05. I assume Bob's back in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
I think they all got out of there pretty quickly. And I don't blame them. They were in a bubble for, what, 3 weeks in Edmonton?
Dude, I don't know. Like, Bobby Mack makes some good bank. If I'm in a bubble for 40 days or whatever the time period was, I'm private bird home. I'm private bird home. Seriously,
really?
When you think about it, Jamie, you know this better than anybody. You've done more big league stuff than any of us at TSN combined. So you talk to Gord, you talk to Jimmy, you talk to whoever, you talk to Big Shots. Who wants to chip in for the private bird? Probably end up being $2,500 a guy to get everybody home, not even.
Wow. Depends on
one way, Jamie. One way.
But okay, so
Grappler, you look that up. Go on.
I can tell you the rate. I can tell you the rate, depending on what, a 6-seater, 8-seater, 12-seater. That's what I'm saying.
Let's say 6 or 8 private bird, Edmonton, Toronto. Maybe 30 grand?
Yeah.
Okay.
30, at least.
So 5 apiece.
In that range.
Why not wait
I'm
8 more hours and jump on a bird?
Or you could take a red-eye last night, I believe.
These guys are big shots. Bobby Mack, James Duffy, like, they make bank. They make bank. It's $5,000, you're home.
You know what, though? When people make bank, they also want to save bank. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think they're, if it's a one-off, if it's an absolute emergency, I understand. But I also believe there was probably WestJet or Air Canada red-eye out last night. You could have been in Toronto by 6 a.m. this morning. I've taken plenty of red-eye.
If there was a red-eye, then I would be on it, I guess.
That's what
I don't know what time they left the rink, because I did that at the World Juniors. Canada shocked me, and they lost, I think, in the quarters to Finland and Vancouver. I'm like, see you later. I am out of here.
Well, that's adjusting your plans on the fly, because you weren't thinking they were going to lose that game to Finland. Where this one, like Bobby Mack, Duffy, Gord, Ray, everyone knows they are there until a certain date. They are there until the gold medal is handed out. And we haven't heard from anyone, so I'm assuming no one won the 50-50 last night. The three of us are here, so you could figure that out yourself.
What does
we didn't
that
win
mean?
Anything
it just goes
last
somebody
night.
Who gets the money?
Someone won it. There it is. Haley McNeil.
McNeil.
I would hate for my name to be out there.
Exactly.
Hate.
Exactly. Brian Hayes. So guess what? You've got 8,000 people calling you, people that you've never heard from in 20 years. Hey, I was in grade 7 with you. Do you want to? I've got to.
Come downstairs from your sleep, and Billy, your dad, would be on your sofa with his bathing suit on, ready to go on vacation. Let's rock.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst possible outcome. Like, you're happy you won the money. And it's difficult to be immediately bitter or a little bit jaded when you're walking into $7 or $8 million, which is what was on the line last night, courtesy of the 50-50. But I want nothing to do with my name going public. I would pay whoever it was. I'd pay him $50,000 cash not to release my name. $50,000 cash.
No, you have the legal right to say, give me the money and don't say my name. That's
obviously you don't.
I don't know.
Who would sign off on announcing every single name is up on that website?
Why would you allow them to put your name up? But Grappler, do some research. You're legally allowed to say, I don't want my name out.
Okay,
anybody that wins the Lotto Max, they're allowed to say, I won, but do not say my name.
You 5 minutes in, the grappler's doing research on a private plane, the cost of that, and if you can release your name to the lottery or not. I would say that could you not create a numbered company and figure it out, like, you know, something like that, if you didn't want that type of money?
I know for a fact you are legally obligated to not have your name out there, legally.
Why, have you won something before? How would you know that so well?
Exactly.
Dude, don't try to, like, act like I'm just some dummy that would have no idea.
Not at all.
You are legally obligated to not have your name published. It's just a fact. I know it.
Okay.
Grappler,
help. I'm so curious how you would know that, what you've been digging up, what you've won, and who doesn't know that you won.
Exactly.
That's what I need to know the backstory on that.
Exactly.
I've got an idea. I've got a sneaking suspicion who wasn't aware of what you won in the past.
Yeah.
But we don't need to go deeper down that road.
Anything that was won by myself was NHL type delivery. That's it. I won the lottery without getting a ticket is what I won.
Right.
And that's it. There is no like Lotto Max. I know exactly what you're going at, but that is not the case.
I played in Bantam with a guy whose dad won the lottery. It was well known. Like, he won the lottery.
Like, a lot of money? Like, it was a good amount of cash?
You know what I was thinking about last night is, at that time, it was a lot of cash. I don't know. Like, I'm actually concerned that, like, he's broke right now because I want to say it was, like, $1.5 million.
There's shows that show that there's a – I also know this as well. There is shows that prove, like, there's a percentage – I think it's fairly high – of people that win the lotto that were living kind of normal life, they end up pissing it away a lot of the
time. Oh, it's a large percentage because you just...
They just don't know what to do with it.
No, and there's, for starters, maybe you get taxed on that. That all of a sudden you're throwing money around to people that are looking for money. There's hangers-on that are like, any way you could float me this and you're never going to see that again. And you just, you start getting too big for your britches and you buy properties and then, you know, and the taxes are starting to load up, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't have this kind of money. What am I doing here?
And you've never, the thing is if you've never been in that wheelhouse financially, you probably don't know how to handle it, and you've got a bunch of floaters that
that's what I'm saying.
Come out of the woodwork, and hey, give me $100,000. Hey, hey, I've got you to invest in here, and all of a sudden it's gone. And
it's gone.
That's it.
And there are different, like winning the lottery, we think of the grand prize, like the 50-50 last night. You think of 649 or whatever. But there are other lotteries where you can win 50 grand, 100 grand, which is amazing. You know, incredible.
Right.
But that's not life-altering, you know, generational wealth.
Right.
And, you know, what you do with it, it's your call. It's your winnings. But if you think you're quitting your job because you made 100 grand and you're 28 years old, what are you going to do for the rest of your life?
Dude, well, that's
when
what
I was
worries
7
me.
Years old. When I was 7 years old, I thought 100 grand was like a ton.
Right.
It is 100. You know what? That money is a ton, but it's just relative terms. Like, you always have to respect the amount of money. It's just like, that's why I brought that up, is this is Bantam hockey. So I'm playing Bantam in Lethbridge, Alberta at the time. And, you know, one of
massive
the guys
money.
On our team. One of the guys on our team, it was well known, like his dad, like won the lottery. And I don't know how much it was for, but I was assuming back then it was like Lotto 649 with $2 million. But all I keep thinking about was, did he invest that? I was thinking about this last night. I wonder if he's got any money left, what he's doing, like if he hit a wall at like 65, because he would have been a young father.
It makes
like
you
we
wonder
were all
if he,
10 years old, right?
Makes you wonder if you almost, if he regrets winning. In a way, because it was a cool ride for a few years, but now you'd always be overthinking what you did with that money. Like, why did I have to buy that Cadillac straight cash immediately?
Right.
Like, my car was in good shape. I could have just kept that 60 grand cash or whatever, 70 grand. Why did I have to take everyone to Cabo for 2 weeks?
Well, you're right.
You know, why did I have to do that?
You could probably speak to it. I know every pro athlete who ever signed their first contract, there's one vanity purchase. I don't know what it is. Like, I mean, I
one
bought a car.
One is okay. One is fine.
But, yeah.
You start loading up on three or four, and you're making it rain at the clubs. It's like, what are you doing, guys? I'll never forget.
I was out with a buddy in Edmonton. I don't want to say his name because he never did play in the NHL. But we were at a bar called Esmeralda's, and he had just signed that day. Got a call from his agent. It's like, boys, I just signed. We're at the bar, and he's like, drinks for everybody.
No, what are you thinking?
You know what he did? He turned to me and said, can I borrow your credit card? He had no money. Like, it's not like there's the signing bonus immediately goes into your checking account.
I would have left.
Whatever. It was kind of funny. He's like, drinks for everybody. I just signed, and everyone was all fired up. I'm like, the guy made $200 a week last year in junior. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, there's no.
Noodles, I want to know this from you.
Yeah.
Because I think I have a number in my head. What do you think you've pissed away in your life?
I don't
cars, know. Cars, vacations, booze, dinners, trips.
I don't know.
If you put it all into a lump sum number, what do you think that you've wiped your ass with?
Well, but you got to enjoy
foremost,
that, too.
That's the thing. That's not
I know, but
here,
when you're looking back at it at our age right now, Brian, it's basically pissing away money.
Well, yeah, but you got memories. You know,
you got like, great memories. And like,
really? What's your number?
I don't know, because honestly, I was in a group text last night with my buddies from back home because we were making fun of one guy wearing a toque on national TV.
How about that? I got a couple of texts last night about that gentleman wearing a toque on a pregame show.
So I like right away the texts were flying and then, and, you know, it was kind of funny. So we have a group chat going on. And you start talking about, you know, everyday life. And, like, I think everyone who's been in a position to have a little bit of money to invest hasn't nailed it out of the park with every investment. So there was one we were kind of chuckling about because it came across kind of all of our desks. And a few guys bid on it and got rinsed. And a few people didn't, right?
Right.
And it's just kind of funny because you look back and you're like, you were young and impressionable. And somebody got their hooks into you. And all of a sudden.
Which is way worse, right? Like, okay,
exactly.
I overspent in Vegas. But I was in Vegas and I had the time of my life. I was 28 years old or whatever.
Right.
Investing in, you know, Gary's delivery service that is going to knock off Skip the Dishes.
I think I've told
you guys. It's like, come on.
Have I told you guys this? I will openly admit that I got rinsed for $5,000. This was before the Olympics. I've told you guys this. The baseball hat with no brim on it.
The worst idea in the history of invention. Like, I can't think of a worse idea.
Company. I swear it was, and I feel so bad because we were in the minors, and I want to say Strutty may have been in on that nonsense.
Well, we'll
too.
Ask
I can't
him in
remember.
15. He's coming up in 15, and he is, I guess, he is at ground zero for what happened in the country last night, where the Americans played incredibly well. The United States showed up. Their big boys were outstanding last night. Zegras was great. That Matthew Boldy can play. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
And Turcott showed up. And on the flip side, that it was a tough night for Dylan Cousins to really not factor in whatsoever. That was the worst game of the tournament for him by a large margin.
Yeah.
At no point did he seem dangerous. The Canadians, that was the concern yesterday. I admit I got it wrong. You know, I was going in cocky. I thought they were going to roll. I thought they were the better team. I still think they're the better team, but that doesn't mean anything in a one-game playoff.
Right.
And the concern was what happens if they get smacked first, because they have not been smacked at all throughout this run.
Those two teams, Brian.
It happened.
I will say this, and it doesn't mean nothing because the tournament's over. Canada lost, and they deserved it. The U.S. was better. But I think if Canada and the U.S. were in the same division and they went at that one time before that game, let's just be honest, Canada had zero. Those two teams, I know USA lost one game. I think it was to Russia, maybe their opener of the tournament. But they were so far and away better than everybody else. There was no competition for either of them. And for Canada, they were almost like blindsided, like, oh, my God, these guys are as good as us. And they slapped them around in the first period, and they couldn't come back.
I thought Canada had a great start. The first 7 or 8 minutes, they came out flying, and then
I thought they were dummied the first period and a half. Then the game was over.
First period and a half for sure. I would say again, from my standpoint, I thought it was about the 10-minute mark through to the 10-minute mark of the second period. That was the game.
Yeah, and right. But like I said, if they had that matchup and they were in the same division and that was their second go around, maybe Canada would have had a better outcome because they might have been more prepared. But at the end of the day, What are they going to do to fix that? I have no idea.
I don't think it's worthy of some big concern.
We do this all the time. They were so far away, better than everybody else in that tournament. It wasn't even close.
I don't know where you guys are at, but is there people talking like Canada needs some sort of summit or something?
No, of course.
That's lunacy.
There better not be.
It's lunacy. They had 20 first-rounders on that
team.
Last night was the first time they allowed an even-strength goal, for God's sakes.
And don't get me started on the garbage can / barrel thing. And that I get it, but like I don't know. I just there's not enough time in my day to worry about a damn garbage can being
what teenagers are doing
ice.
To get
exactly.
hyped up and reacting just, to the greatest moment of their hockey.
That's
players.
What it was. It was a teenage thing to do,
yeah.
And it was an American thing to do, quite frankly. And they had the Canada logo on it. That just shouldn't be in the team picture. End of story.
No, it's goofy to have it.
Yeah, it is. Goofy. There's no reason for that to be in the. Yeah, I don't even care what their stupid saying was. But they did it. They're young kids. And that's what they do.
And at the end of the day, you know, the outrage and the fake outrage, you know, I woke up to that. I was like, Jesus, like, move on. Like, these kids, they deserve to win. Like, Team USA played very well. The goaltender, I thought, made a couple real timely saves. Hayes, you just said it. The Zegras kid and everyone threw that. Like,
Turcotte,
you name
yep.
it. Like,
Sanderson was good last night.
They're all going to be good players.
Yep.
Like, what I noticed was on display is a lot of those kids that were playing last night are very close to playing regular shifts in the National Hockey League very soon. If not next year, this year or next year, like right there.
Yeah, within the next couple of years, absolutely. Yeah. Like 75% of the players that were on the ice last night will be in the NHL within the next 2 years.
Exactly.
Yes. And some of them playing truly prominent roles, like cornerstone pieces for developing teams. Like, you look at Anaheim, Zegras and Drysdale are showing up. You know, they're in Anaheim today. You look at LA, they got Turcotte and Byfield. Who are there. You look at Colorado. They got Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook who are going to join their squad.
Bowen Byram is going to join Cale Makar.
Right. It's almost unfair to think that is what is on the horizon for Colorado, who already might be, if not the best team in the league, one of them.
And they kid from the island. It's like nice decoy.
Devon Toews, they traded for him. Yeah, like that's,
they're loaded.
Honestly, they are. I think Colorado, I mean, we focus so much on our Canadian division, and we should. But, like, I think Colorado, if – I still think they need to trade for a goaltender for insurance, but that's the only lack of – I guess my concern is Colorado.
Oh, it's
Colorado
a legitimate
is my
concern.
Cup favorite for sure. Yep. Colorado and Tampa still, but, like, Colorado still needs a goaltender, I believe, just for confidence.
No, you're not alone in that. I can't imagine anyone would disagree with it, including Joe Sakic, who didn't go out and address the position for whatever reason. But I think their goaltending is weak, and it's the only thing holding them back. Like, they're basically what they are, is they're the Colorado Avalanche from the beginning of the 96 season. You go up there and get Patrick Waugh, you're probably winning the cup. You know, that's
agreed.
What they need is a superstar goalie. They step in there, they're probably the best team in the league. But as I'm watching the game last night, it was a fun game, a good game, close game, which is what we were pining for because Canada had just steamrolled the rest of the competition, is what we probably already knew. But this is the future for every layer of hockey in this country. It is Canada versus the United States. Canada is still the powerhouse. They will continue to be the powerhouse. I think the Americans are closer today than they maybe ever have been. That said, in the 90s, the Americans were loaded too. You know, it's cyclical. They come and go. Canada stays at the top all the time and has for the past 100 years. And Russia comes and goes. The Americans come and go. Sweden, Finland, etc. But I think the Americans are going to stay there now with the amount of talent that they have. And what I want to see, and you talk about summit, what should be coming up here is we need more Canada versus United States content. We need them playing more. And I was thinking of this idea last night, and I don't know if it's possible. I don't know, like, greater minds than mine would need to work out the you know, X's and O's on this. But if you're going back to the Olympics – every 4 years. You commit to that. The men are going to be there every 4 years. The women are going to be there every 4 years. I would love to see every 4 years, so the other 2 years where we don't have international hockey, some sort of best of seven Canada versus the United
States.
Like
a Ryder Cup type thing. It's
absolutely.
Like three games in Vancouver and then 4 games down in Seattle or something like that. And I think it would be fantastic. Every second year, every something like that. And
do it every second. Yeah, it's just like the World Cup and the Euros.
Ryder Cup, man.
Soccer, yeah. And you know what you could do is I would include the women. I would include the juniors. And I would have like a 2-week run where it's best on best. The best men in the world are playing Canada versus the United States. The best women are playing Canada versus the United States. And the best juniors are playing. And do it.
Best out of five.
Well, exactly. Who's not watching that, though?
It would be a monster.
You want to talk about drumming up business, drumming up financial, some financial recovery after COVID? Like, that's the type of stuff that you have to be creative about. Because, we're all watching it. I don't know who would say no to that, though.
Oh, nobody would, I don't think. I mean, the players, the problem is if you're bringing the NHL into it, then the IIHF is like, wait a minute, no, that's our wheelhouse. So if the NHL is trying to coop money into it, why would the juniors do that for them? Why would women do it for them? You know, the NHL players would be in their wheelhouse. But I see, like, this is, you talk about, like, Ryder Cup, you talk about somehow involving men, women, and juniors into it, like a best of seven series where the men play games 1, 4, and 7, the juniors play games 2 and 5, and the women play games 3 and 6. Right. And it's a best of four, or it's a best of seven. Who's going to get the four wins first, Canada versus the United States? I think it'd be incredible. And you could do it like Vancouver and Seattle, Toronto and Buffalo, Montreal and New York, or whatever it is, and you just find couple of cities, you just float back and forth over the border, and I think it'd be amazing.
It would be.
So anyway, that was what I was thinking about last night. And I think I speak for every Canadian and likely every American hockey fan, where the more we can get of Canada versus the United States, the better as hockey fans. Strutty's coming up. Jason Strudwick will join us. We're a week away from opening night in the National Hockey League. We'll get to that. Bob McKenzie into the 5 p.m. hour. We're closing in on the NFL wildcard weekend as well, so we'll touch on that later this afternoon. And the Raptors are out west. They're in Phoenix tonight, and the Suns, they're a pretty good team. This is not going to be an easy game. I don't have confidence. It's the weirdest turn. You know, like for 2 or 3 years, I had the utmost confidence that the Raptors are going to win games, that they'll find a way to get through ruts.
And when
I
don't have a ton of confidence tonight. No, when you don't have confidence in your team, all you think of is the star players on the other team. Like, you're thinking Booker and Paul are just going to tee off on us tonight. And, and then it goes to the next city, and it's like, these guys are just going to tee off. That's all I think about when a team's struggling.
It's concerning, for sure. So we'll get to that later this afternoon as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Bob McKenzie will join us just after 5. Our boy Charlie Weiss is back on the show in the 6 p.m. hour, and Charlie's a good friend of Tom Brady. Fan of Tom Brady.
Tommy
Brady.
Tommy.
That's right, Tommy boy. And we'll ask him about Chase Young calling out Tom Brady. He wants a piece of Brady. He wants a piece of the GOAT this weekend. And, he's a rookie. He was second overall. He was a beast this year. You know, it's one of those, I get it, you're hype, but maybe relax a little bit. You know, you're calling out Tom Brady here.
When do these guys realize, like, the kid yesterday, Zegras, he made some statements. I don't think they were overly egregious. He was just like, I don't think they've seen some heat like ours, and we're going to bring it. I don't think the goaltender's been tested. I have no problem with somebody making those comments. He didn't say these guys are a bunch of goons and we're going to dominate them. I think they were great comments. But you just make the comments after the game. You could just say, suck on that one. Yeah. Like Strutty did when he dummied someone in the corner.
Yeah, he's a silver medalist, I believe, at the World Championships or something. The Spengler. Wasn't he a silver medalist?
Yeah, yes. Spengler. Led the tournament in minutes played, though, I believe. I think Strutty was a stalwart on the back end.
Yeah.
If I recall past conversations about the Spengler Cup, and here he is from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer, Jason Strudwick. What's up, Strutty?
Not much, buddy. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing very well, man. We're a week away from opening night. What's the excitement like? Are you guys talking World Juniors today, or is it all about Jesse Puljujärvi making his redemption tour starting next Wednesday night?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that starting mid-January, like, I feel like my internal clock's all jacked up, right? You know, now we're usually kind of talking about the dog days of the season. But, yeah, for the winners, you know, Puljujärvi's a really interesting piece. They need a third line. You know, last year, with all due respect to the players they had there, they had 2 fourth lines. And a third line to me is something that can kind of, you know, turn the tide, bring some offense, bring some energy to a group, and not just hang on. You know, and with Kyle Turris there, and they've got Puljujärvi, seem to have those two guys as a duo, in Dave Tippett's words. And then on the other side, you know, they got Archibald there, but, you know, there's a lot of other options, that whether Ennis or Calhoun or Neil or who knows what happened. So It seems like the heart of that third line will be Turris and Puljujärvi, but I really don't know what to expect about Puljujärvi. Before he left, my thing that I saw for him is that he didn't win enough puck battles. He's a big man who can skate. You got to win those puck battles. You know, Old Dog wasn't going to the corner and get the puck. Someone went and got the puck for him and passed it to him, and he scored.
Okay, hey there. Hey, Strutty. I just want to make one comment before Noodles has a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see Kyle Turris play hockey last year or the last couple of years? Have you seen that or no?
What are you saying about his it seems like a pretty steep drop-off?
Yeah. You talk about me not wanting to go in the corner to get a puck. He doesn't want to get the puck anywhere on the ice, Reddy.
Hold on. It was a compliment. You're a scorer. You go in front of the net. Brett Hall wasn't going in the corner either.
Okay. Thanks,
I would have rather sat them. I would have rather been in the middle instead of mucking up in the corner getting tossed around by Derek Bougard and Bob Probert all the time, you know? No, and Kyle Turris, listen, I don't know. I have a hard time understanding how someone can drop off that quickly. Was it the system? Was it where he was playing? Was it just he doesn't like country music? I don't know. But on the contract he has, it's not like they invested $1 billion in this guy. No. So if it doesn't work out, I think he's on 2 years, if I remember correctly. You know, it's not an outrageous deal, but there's a chance he can rebound and go back up. And keep in mind, on this team, like, he doesn't have to work miracles. He just has to try to tip the scales against other teams' third and fourth line, which, you know, you should be able to do. When I played, I wasn't the top of the line, but when I played against other teams' third and fourth line, I felt pretty good. When you go against the other team's top line, it'd go ugly. But the third and fourth line, if you can't compete against them,
you know,
I don't care. Well, that there you go. You should maybe be doing a radio show in Edmonton.
Or Toronto, for that matter. Anywhere in the country. There's a lot of them. A lot of you guys kicking around.
I agree, Strud. I mean, we've been talking about it all along, and there's six teams we think that could come in first in this Canadian division, and a lot of respect to Ottawa. I think Ottawa's going to be a tough out. You know, where are you at when you take a look at these teams throughout Canada? Could you easily make an argument for everyone, or is there one or two that maybe kind of push forward for you just based on, you know, whether it's Edmonton with Draisaitl and McDavid, whether it's Toronto with the depth or Winnipeg, you know, where are you at with the Canadian division and who you think is going to come up top?
You know what? Each team reminds me a little bit about Craig Button suits. I like part of it, but I don't like all of them. And when you look at a guy, like, let's look at Winnipeg. I don't love their defense, but Charlie Huddy's a good coach there, a good defenseman coach, and he'll help get those guys going. But I really like their goaltender, and I love their top six. You know, I think Vancouver lost a little bit of their soul when Markstrom left. And I wonder if that is going to be the same with the duo they leave behind. Like, who's the starter there? Is it a platoon situation, which is great, but, you know, Markstrom covered up a lot of errors last year. Here in Edmonton, I think we know what the top-end guys can do. I'm not worried about the goaltending. I'm worried about the overall team commitment to defense. You know, run and gun is fun. It's fun to play, and you're back and forth, and we're going to trade shots and chances, but eventually, you know, that gets weeded down. As the season goes on, you get into that 50th, you know, 56 game, then the playoffs, you can't run a gun. Teams lock it down. Even Tampa was able, or not able, they did do it last year. You know, Toronto, I worry about their goaltending a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm sold on their defense. So every team's kind of got a warp, but I hate to say this, but I think Toronto is what, if I had to put some of my hard-earned cash down, I'd probably pick Toronto to lead it, but not with a great amount of certainty. I think it's going to be really tight. But for these teams, the start to the season is crucial. Like, I think goaltending and the start to the season is going to be huge to these teams. And, you know, after the first 10, 15 games, I think we'll have a pretty clear picture where everyone stands.
Strutty, how shocked are you being in Edmonton with McDavid and Draisaitl throwing around Hart trophies? That's pretty heavy hardware. How shocked are you that you aren't talking about it's cup or bust, or they've been to two finals, or this team is repeating as Stanley Cup champions? Like, are you not shocked that you're not having those discussions as opposed to talking about Kyle Turris filling in on the third line, maybe solidifying that line?
Wait, did Kyle Turris beat you up sometime? What's the problem? What's wrong with you and
he's
Kyle
irrelevant to the question. I just mean the tossing.
Deep scars with Turris and
no. I'm talking about the top-end talent. Like, are you not shocked that these guys haven't, like, come close to bringing home the ultimate goal there?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier. Like, I those two guys are they've played their hearts out, right? And then they've done so much, and you know, you mentioned the hardware they've won, and how they're widely respected as two of the best offensive players in the league. I think we can all agree with that. But you know, they can't do it by themselves. This isn't the NBA where you put Davis and LeBron in a Lakers jersey and you're going to win a championship. It doesn't work like that. And I watched this. I watched every minute of every game of these guys of the team the last really since I stopped being an Oiler. And you know, they don't not just those two guys, but the whole group. They don't think about the defensive part of the game and being hard to play against. You know, if you get a chance, you go back and watch the replay goals against Chicago. Like there was guys jumping out of the way of point shots from like Olimata. And now Olimata, he may have a hard shot, but I guarantee it's not Shea Weber or Al MacInnis or Zdeno Chara. You stand there and take it. You had guys literally jumping out of the way like someone was throwing a grenade inside a bathroom stall. They have to find a way to be more dedicated in their own zone. And this isn't just one guy. This is a whole group. And to me, that's what being hard to play against is today. You know, like, you know, getting in the shooting lane, getting the puck out, you know, getting... making guys get the puck up before they want to. And, you know, you look no further than that game last night with the Americans against the Canes. The Canes could not get inside kind of the inside part of the American zone, especially in that third period. They had it all clogged up. The Oilers have to take a little bit of that mentality and be harder to play against. I feel very comfortable with saying they're going to be able to score goals, but, you know, you can score five. Their team scores six, and there's six easy ones. You leave your goalies out to dry, and you're not going to win games. So, you know, I'm telling you, don't worry about the goalies. The goalies are going to, they're fine. They're average. I'll take average. But if they pick up their defensive play, that is where I think we'll start seeing this team, you know, go past, you know, get into the playoffs and get past the first or second round. It's a hard lesson to learn, and it's hard to play that way. And you got to give up a little bit of the other side of it. But if they do it, I think they'll be rewarded in a way longer playoff run.
With Jason Strudwick, TSN Radio out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer, and you slid something in there. It sounded like a strong belief in the Toronto Maple Leafs and what they're building here, Strutty, because I think you said you're picking them as the best team in the division, and they are the favorites in Vegas. They're the favorites really throughout, you know, media, the fan bases. And I understand why. You know, I have my concerns just because I've tracked them as closely as I do. I watch every single shift, and it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it scenarios. But the more and more I look at their setup and the fact that they're not competing with Boston and Tampa, who over the past 2 years have been much better than any other team in this country, I think sets them up to potentially do some damage. And Sheldon Keefe is laying down the law early. I don't know how many camps you showed up to where you had a 20-minute bag skate on day one, but that's what Keefe did a couple of days ago, and he's trying to hammer home that it's all business all the time. Do you believe it's going to stick? You know, why would it stick here in Toronto all of a sudden?
Well, there's no doubt that the Leafs are Ontario's team. I mean, that's a mantle they clearly hang on to over top of the Senators and maybe just over the Marlies. but you know what? It's hard not to like this team. I mean, they have a lot of talent, right? And, you know, I know that Joe Thornton, at least, you know, I think day one, Joe Thornton was riding shotgun with Matthews and company. And I think that's an interesting move. My partner, Jason Greger, he actually made an interesting suggestion that, you know, Thornton doesn't have to be super fast, but he can be a little bit like Pat Maroon was with McDavid. You know, you don't have to get there with him, but you get there and take up space and make plays. So that's an interesting mix. When I look at their centers, you know, Matthews and Tavares and Spezza, and then if Thornton eventually slides down that third spot, I mean, that's a lot of veteran savvy down the middle. You know, and as a D-man, it makes it a lot easier when you have four centers who know what they're doing. And if it's Kerfoot, then it's, you know, Kerfoot. But, you know, I'm not that familiar with the bottom of their defensive lineup. You know, we know Riley and Brody and these guys, but I don't know the bottom that well to say I feel really comfortable. I think you're going to need a probably 6, 7, 8 D in this shortened season with so many games. So, you know, one injury back there and you could have a big problem. But, you know, I think to me, they're the least ugly of all the choices I have to make if I have to bet on somebody. Like, right. They're not a clear cut like Tampa Bay last year. And that's a compliment to the Leafs. I think they've done a good job. And maybe they fill a hole for other D-men, you know, at some point down the line. But, that's the best way I can say it. I think the of all the selections are my best, the best choice, if not perfect.
Yeah, no, I think I concur with that. Like, I do think the Leafs have the best opportunity at winning this division. It's by no means a lock, and they have made life difficult on themselves in the past. They did it a year ago, and I know they've turned over a lot of pieces here, but Joe Thornton alone isn't going to change the nature of every player that has been here for a number of years and the way that you're going to play and the way you're going to fight through. But that's the high expectation here. You know, I get the impression like there are high expectations in a number of cities throughout the country. There should be. But I think Toronto is boom or bust more than any other, including Edmonton, including Calgary, Montreal. Would you concur with that, Strutty? Like, the most pressure of any team to get things done this year in the Canadian division would be Toronto?
I think so. I think that, you know, you've had the GM there for a while, right? I know a new coach, but, you know, they came in with the Shannon plan and all that, and there was a lot of excitement about that. You know, and it feels like it's been quite a long in the coming, right, that they want to have this success. But if you're a Leafs player right now, you look around, you made it, you know, pretty clear. They don't have to compete against some of those tough teams they did. You have a really good chance this year. Like, the pathway to a deep run in the playoffs is clear. You know what you have to beat. They're, you know, in past years, they've had a look at some of those monsters of the East. Now they're looking at this league, and they should be able to beat everybody. I'm not saying they will, but there's a good, they match up really well with everyone. So you got to be excited for that Leafs team. There, I think they have to tweak some things. There's no doubt about the way that they play and they, you know, their desire and sometimes managing the puck. I think those are all things that Sheldon obviously will hammer into them. But, you know, if you're a Leafs fan, player, and I guess my extension of fan, you're excited for this year because it feels like you can go quite deep this year if things are go properly.
Yep, exactly. And I'm sure, again, that is the logic with a number of places throughout the country, throughout the league for that matter. There's a lot. There is another league going on, or a portion of the league south of the border right now. We haven't talked a ton about it because I think we'll be more focused on the seven teams up here. But it's going to be a fun ride starting a week tonight, and we'll do it again soon. We always appreciate it. Thank you for this, Strutty.
Yeah, and take it easy on Kyle Turris, bud. He's just a human. You know, let me know. I'm going to send you a text. Tell me what happened with you two.
Good Canadian boy, Kyle Turris. We support him. We look forward to seeing what he's got in store. I think potentially the best third-line center in the league. I'm waiting for that.
Hey, I hope he does. I just know how he's dropped off quite a bit. I don't know what the reason is. I like the way he played in Ottawa, but it's been a tough scene for him.
Yeah, it's been ugly. Yeah. It's been ugly. All right, Strutty. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, boys. See you later.
There he is, Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton. Yeah. And if he's liking the Maple Leafs, that tells you something, doesn't it? I mean, Strutty will go out of his way to kick stones at the Leafs. So
I still have them second behind Winnipeg. But
you got Winnipeg number one, yeah. You've been committed to that.
But I've been committed to that, and I'm not gonna I can't waver just based on, you know, my bias here, like on where I work.
No,
I just gotta be honest. Like it's not a disrespect to anything. Like, I like their moves. I think there's a chance
I'd sign off on second right now. If you offered me that right now, say they'll finish second, I think Kyle Dubas would sign off on that. Sheldon Keefe, they all would.
Listen, you know what I want for them? Top four. Because you know what? It doesn't matter.
Right.
Really.
There's no home ice advantage anyway.
There's going to be no home ice, and all you have to do is make the playoffs. And you're going to have to play. You're going to have a long history against the other three teams that you're going to play against anyways, because you'll have played them either 9 or 10 times. So you're going to know them inside and out. So all I care about is make the top four. The seeding, yeah, I guess it's bragging rights, all of that stuff. But I keep saying Ottawa's going to steal points off teams. You know, there's going to be a night where Toronto and Montreal are playing, and it's going to be just as important watching that Calgary and Vancouver or Calgary and Edmonton play, because they'll be chasing each other in the standings. It's going to be fantastic theater, but it's also going to be nerve-wracking, because we keep saying that there's six teams that we think are all playoff teams. Two of them aren't even going to sniff the playoffs.
Two of them are going to miss. I would say at least one of those two are going to miss by maybe a fair margin, because just everything collapses. You know, like there's injuries, the goalies don't hold up.
COVID, who
turmoil,
knows?
COVID, whatever. Yeah, right. I mean, there's going to be, like, the NBA is doing it right now. They're churning out some original storylines that a lot of people were not expecting. You know, there's some, like, the Knicks are on fire. The New York Knicks are winning games. You know, that's all you need to know in terms of no fans, COVID, the randomness of this season. And I think it's going to apply to every sport, and it will apply to the NHL. But we'll get to our predictions, you know, next week as we get closer to Wednesday night and opening night. But I keep going back and forth. I think about it quite often, you know, how I'm going to rank these Canadian teams 1 through 7. I'm going to put Ottawa at 7. I think I'm going to put the Leafs at 1. It's 2 through 6 that I continue to waver on. You know, I just continue to go back and forth because I like the teams. I don't love any of these teams. You know, I like them. I don't love them.
Well,
and there's only so many teams in the league I do love. There's like 5 teams where I'm like, I really love that team. That's a great team.
Tampa right. being one of them.
Tampa being one of them. I think Colorado's one of them.
I think Colorado's close to being a perfect team, like close to, as far as depth and balance yep. and stuff like that. It'd just be interesting
so close,
to see.
Jamie, but if they think they're winning with that goaltending, I don't care if Grubauer's 100%. They're not winning a Stanley Cup right now.
I understand that. But even I'm fine with him playing. He got hurt in the playoffs, and he didn't play well in net in Washington in the playoffs. What I'm saying is even if you start with it, what you need is a safety blanket who's been there and done that.
Right.
Whether it, you know, I don't
know.
Yeah,
but how good are your chances to win if you're relying on some guy that's backing up Grubauer? I don't know. Like, you need to play goaltending.
That's not ideal. I mean, needless to say, if that is the game plan, that they're searching come the trade deadline for some veteran that might stabilize if they need it, they're in trouble.
No, what I'm saying is last year Colorado doesn't lose that series if they haven't gone to their third goaltender. If it's
right.
if Freddie Frances and Michael Hutchinson aren't playing, if they're just getting quality NHL goaltending at that point, they move on. I think they beat Dallas.
Yeah, like I think you're probably right about that. And Hudobin showed up. I can't remember if Bishop was still playing at that point.
No, he was gone. He was gone.
But Hudobin is an example of that. Backup, but stepped in, stabilized, played really well.
Exactly.
And, you know, they didn't miss a beat, and Dallas goes all the way to a cup final. Bob McKenzie in 20 minutes, Charlie Weiss on the NFL and the wild card weekend that is rapidly approaching. The golf season is back up this weekend in Hawaii. It's a beautiful course, too, and it's a good field.
Shoffley's dad walking around.
Shoffley's dad will be kicking around, doing his thing. He's probably out there right now.
He is with a cigar. He's got the gar going today. He's dialed in.
As he should be. So, add more coming up, and the Raptors are in action in Phoenix tonight. We'll tee that up as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Hazy, you talk about golf dads. I saw on the Golf Channel today Mike Thomas. You familiar with that cat?
Yeah, of course. Justin Thomas.
This guy was in Hawaii in a pair of shorts with a sand wedge leaning on it, watching his son. I'm just like, look at this cat.
Do you think he gets to play that course, like at any point during the week?
No.
Do you think they can sneak out there and play it? Probably not, eh?
Well, I'm pretty sure he could put a golf glove in his back pocket walking around with a practice round and say, give me a 7-iron. I want to hit a shot in this par 3. Who the hell's going to know?
Well, that's it. And who, like, it's not like the tournament's going to tell Justin Thomas, we don't want you in it anymore because you let him take a shot. You know, the players own the tournament. You got to have Justin Thomas playing.
Yeah. But I don't think he's wheeling around with his own sticks teeing it up. I don't think he's doing that.
I guess not. But if they show up on the weekend before the tournament, why couldn't he play it on the Sunday, you know, before the official week even starts on the Monday?
Who knows? But I just thought to myself, like, this guy, and everybody loves their kids, but to think I think he's at every tournament this guy's in, man.
Yeah, he's
because he is his coach. He is his coach. But to sit and watch sand wedges from one of the best players in the world, oh, my God.
Well, I saw a couple of different suggestions from a couple of different golf websites or podcasts or whatever. That someone suggested, and this was right up our alley, someone sent it to us, that every golf tournament, especially without fans, with what's going on in the world right now, you should include one, like, average 12 handicap in the field just to get a read on how tough the course actually is. You know, like, because we always discuss that. We always hypothesize, what would Brian Hayes shoot if he played at Augusta from the tips? And you're always like, he'd shoot 180, he'd shoot 200. Well, put a 10 handicap in Hawaii. Let him play. Tell him to go up first.
Nobody wants to watch.
No one's playing with him.
What it is pros versus Joes.
No,
but
it's one guy. Out,
it's a
out
reference
front.
Point.
He's the rabbit. He's the rabbit. Put him out first.
In a cart.
Yeah, in a cart.
You gotta move, dude.
Average like, you gotta cart hurry up. And his own cart, and he shoots 105, 110, 108, and then 89. Who knows?
I love it.
I told you, we had that at Islanders training camp my first year. Mike Milbury pulled the skate sharpener guy out of the sports shop because we were short players and put him on my team. This guy was skating around on his ankles trying to make tape.
Which is way worse because that's a team sport, right? Like, if you have some random guy, like you're teeing off at 11:56 and this guy went off at 6:45, what does it matter to you? You know, if you're John Rahm, Justin Thomas – you know, that it's an individual sport. A team sport where you put some random average dude out there, that's a totally different story.
That's what I mean. You're at Leafs power play, first power play, you throw it back door, and Joe from the bridge is whiffing on it.
Right, exactly.
Because he's late to get to the spot because he can't get there.
The other option was that I saw that you send out a bunch of guys on the Monday. Like, you basically have an amateur tournament on the Monday when the course is still set up, just simply for reference purposes. And like, I'd watch that. I would watch a bunch of 10 handicaps play whatever course it is. You know, Torrey Pines the day after the PGA Championship just to see exactly what they'd shoot. You know,
I think there'd be
interest in that.
Dude,
I think
here's what you do. You find an audience. You put all the 12 handicaps in every site they're at, and then at the Tour Championship, they go the week before and they tee it up and see who wins the
Right, let's
Blum
see what
Tour.
You got. Exactly. I'm into it because I think I could be a part of that somehow, at least on the Canadian tour.
I love that you call it the Joe Blow Tour.
That's exactly what it would be. Hour two up next, Bob McKenzie and Jerry's Percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.